Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Amy Beth with Allison and JP. A couple of fun things while we are connecting with Senator Gudger. I heard this quote today. It said that we're in trouble when something starts as an option and then it becomes an obligation. It's kind of so many things in our government. The other thing that I loved was a Milton Friedman quote from this morning, and I was listening to him. So attractive to do good at someone else's expense.
Boy, don't we know that all too well.
True.
Yeah, whether it's kids apropos. Or friends or coworkers, whatever it is, not y'all. You know, it's so easy to do this and do that and throw things around when it's not your money, it's not your time, it's not your energy, it's not your risk. And you just kind of live in that space and it's really comfortable. Who was it that wrote in and said, if you put a perfectly able-bodied person in a wheelchair and push them around every day, eventually they lose the ability to walk? I think that's where we are. All right, we have Garland. Okay. Or is he on video or did he call in?
He's on video. Oh. He's on
there right now. Garland.
Where are you?
Guys. How are you guys? This is my house.
That is super cool.
Your house is awesome.
Thank you. I have a loft, and so I've been fixing it up for a while. So just got back in from the store and ran up here so I could actually have some quiet, because if I'm at my store, you wouldn't get audio or visual, either one. So please forgive me.
Well, you are our first video guest, so thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I want to surprise you and give you a little something extra for you ladies. I appreciate you having me on today.
Well, hey, Jared Sinclair is actually watching.
Oh, big Jared. That's right. Tell him I said hello.
Well, he wanted to know why your name is Mango Man.
There's a long story. I don't know if we want to put that on air anyway, but he and I used to be roommates when we lived overseas, and so there was some
overseas. That sounds dramatic.
Allergic reactions to a fruit that he wanted me to get out of the tree one day. So I climbed up there and got it, and man, it was bad. It was real bad. You tell him I said hello.
I will. So Garland and my husband lived in Hawaii. It was hardly overseas for a summer, and Garland is known around my house as, you know, the guy that Dad lived with, where they didn't have electricity and they ate rice all summer.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. But thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. I think you're our first elected official, too. Yeah.
Well, good.
Man, look at you go.
We need to make this more often, and I appreciate you guys having me on. So thank you so much. And give an opportunity just to talk to the people and to talk to you guys. I've been missing y'all on air, so I'm glad to be back and listening to you guys as well.
Well, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Before we get started, I figured for listeners, for all of us, you were newly elected to the Senate pro tem position. Mm-hmm. But what in the world does the Senate pro tem do, and why are you important?
That's a great question, and I get that a lot because people are used to the name Speaker of the House, but it's the same equivalency in the Senate. Someone has to be in charge of the Senate, and so that is my title, Senate pro tem. And so I would look at casting a vision for the whole Senate of where we're going and listening to all 35, I'm 35th, so 34 senators, and what they need. And so I've kind of have to represent everyone in the Senate the same way the Speaker does. Now, again, to be very clear, there are minority leaders in each House, and there's majority leaders in each House. And obviously that changes if it's Republican or Democrat. But the Speaker of the House and the pro tem are the ones that are kind of at the top that work together with the governor as the three highest ranking officials to go forward with the lieutenant governor, of course, as we cast our vision for where Alabama wants to go and what we have coming in our particular respected House through the Alabama State Senate. So that's really my job. But I want to be fair to everyone that is influential and won their race in the Alabama State Senate. And that's part of my job, is to make sure that everyone's fair. And at the same time, we are putting out what the people want us to put out. I'm going to stop right there on the political answer there. I'm going to give you Garland Gudger's answer. Can I do that?
Yep. Yes. Let's do it.
That is to make sure that we put God first and make sure we put family second, and then we bring politics, work third, and then politics. Hmm. But we understand how politics and legislation affects everyone in the first three of my priorities that I just said. But the key for me is making sure that we have the right morals and we have the right mindset and that we do that with class and quality and character. And so I'm looking forward to continuing to be pro tem. This will all be voted on again with an inner body vote of the Senate, the same way the Speaker of the House will be voted on in an organizational meeting in January of 2027 going into the next quadrennium. But as for now, I'm the pro tem for this next session, and the Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, and I are getting along very well and working very closely together. So that's where we are.
So speaking of the upcoming session, what is your vision? What are you hearing from the people that they are looking for most from y'all? And on our end, as citizens, what can we do to help make that happen?
That's a great question. I'm going to take that in a couple different parts, if that's okay.
Yep.
First, what am I hearing from the citizens? I'm hearing how can we relieve financial stress, financial burden that is on us through inflation. And that comes all the way, obviously, from the federal government down to the state and then even local. But, you know, a cost of milk is not the same as it was 5 years ago, much less 10 years ago. And is there anything that we can do to help help the people on a fixed income? That's for sure. So that they are able to help with that, help with health care and having delivery systems to everyone in this state, and making sure that we look at not only the health care delivery system, but also food security. I mean, we just saw what happened with SNAP, you know, up at the federal government. And if just like you guys, every food bank and every church really came to work to make sure that they help their community. But if something like that happens again, nutrition is pretty tough to feed everyone in this state. And we need to have a backup plan and a safety plan to do that. And so we worked with some local charities and food banks to do that. But that's something that we want to make sure that if there are some elderly people that are homebound and can't get out, we want to make sure that they are covered, right? And children that are going home from school, that they have somebody there, number one, that's going to love them, make sure they have the right hygiene and make sure they get tucked in at night. But then number four, making sure that they have food in their belly too, because your basic needs for those children, they have to be met before they can be educated. So those are some of the ones that come to my mind. The one focus that I have personally that's really taken off is the rural roadmap. Not sure if you've heard that, but the word rural is kind of like I sell antiques for a living, okay? So I'm gonna make an analogy to that. I sell architectural salvage and what it amounts to, building supplies, that from 1880 or 1890, all right? So from that, the word antiques has this huge umbrella of a word, but you have furniture underneath that, you have glassware underneath that, you have collectible underneath that, you have architectural salvage like I sell underneath that. Rural Alabama, the word rural is the same way. You have rural health care, you have rural agriculture, you have rural small businesses, you have rural quality of place and trying to get tourism to these smaller towns. And all of those entities under the word rural is different than their urban counterparts. They're not worse, they're not better, but the key is do they have one focused voice when it's in the state house to be able to compete to make sure that the next up-and-coming students and the up-and-coming businesses have the same opportunities as the urban sections do. And so we have really went out throughout the state, put six different boards together that is under this rural roadmap, the speaker and I, and then from that got a cross-section of each one of those that I just said, some of the most best and most qualified experts throughout the state in different geographical regions. And really just had a roundtable discussions, right? What do you think we need to do? What is working? What is not working? And from that, there's been some really great common denominators on each one of those boards and commissions that have really kind of raised their heads up. And so our goal is to pull those common denominators together so that this session, if there's any low-hanging fruit, be able to go ahead and go after that. If not, wait till the next quadrennium and really get a good strategic plan of how we can help everyone in this state from urban and rural, but our focus right now is just on rural. So the next 5 years for Garland Gudger, I'm going to be focused on rural Alabama.
I don't know if you were listening before you came on, but we were having a whole discussion about, it's funny you bring this up, about the role of government and what, you know, founding fathers versus where we are today and how much government is involved in what we were specifically talking about, SNAP and disability and things like that. The rural roadmap for Alabama, where's the line that you you don't cross? Like, at what point is there too much government in what maybe should be? And you brought up the churches and the community food banks and things like that. Working hand in hand, yes, but where, I call it daddy government. Like, where do you draw the line of where you're just allowing people to be dependent on the government versus helping, actually helping the people to better themselves?
You know, I'm going to answer this in two parts. One is, I'm a community servant government guy, right? So if you think bigger government is the answer to the SNAP programs or to any of that that we talked about already, I'm not your guy. I want it to be smaller government, less regulations, less restrictions, less permitting, to make it as efficient as possible. Our job is to enhance the things that the communities are doing well, not to come in and take over and start a whole new bureaucratic system. And I truly believe that. As a small business guy, I see firsthand how government, including state government, interacts with us, which is not very much except for when it comes tax time. Mm-hmm. But we're paying taxes in 10 different ways, more regulations, the red tape that my wife has to go through just for payroll that I was just dealing with 20 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And so there's items that we can correct at the state government to make life easier on the people that we work for, period, right? We work for the people that are in our district and for the people in the state of Alabama. And we never need to lose sight of that. So how do we create an environment of that same mentality in the state house? Just to be very clear, I think there's some people that might not believe that in the state house, that they want more government because it gives them more power and control. That's not who I am. And so as I'm being the leader of the Alabama State Senate, I think my colleagues in the Senate realize exactly where I am and they're following in suit. And I believe they believe that as well. The best way we can help people is to get out of the way, just like Ronald Reagan said. And I want to continue that motto.
So when you talk about the roadmap, you're talking more deregulation and just supporting, you know, in ways, mm-hmm. like you said, that shrink government or at least don't grow it.
Yeah. So, for example, small towns, the one thing that has raised its head already is small towns do not have a way to find out what grants are out there right now, right? If they had a road grant from ALDOT, if they had economic development grant from ADECA, a lot of the small town mayors and town councils are not interacting with their state government every day or their representatives, and I wish they would more, but sometimes they don't. So we're trying to say, what is working? The people that are using the grants, how do we enhance that so that they have an opportunity and a platform to get online and use the grant system, because it's money that they could get for their particular district? And so a grant portal is one. ADECA has one, but it's not all of the grants throughout the state. But it would be nice if a town council from Hanceville, Alabama, could get online and say, tell me about all the grants that are going to be helping us with public safety, for the volunteer fire departments, for the sheriff's department, for the EMS, for the dispatchers. And it just has a list of 20 different grants. Right now, we don't have that. And so just things that the government could do to make it more efficient, so that those tax dollars, if we don't use those, are going to go to another state or somewhere else. And so right. We want to make sure that we capture those in the state of Alabama. But that's just one example of some of the things that are rearing their heads up through these meetings.
We have to take a break. We didn't discuss time, but I'm hoping you can stick with us till the top of the hour.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
I've got a few questions of just specific bills and maybe topics that I'm curious if you think they're coming our way next
session.
That
sounds great.
So you're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Amy Beth with Allison and JP. Thrilled to be joined by Senate Pro Tem. That sounds so serious. Because it is.
Reminds me of fried food. Tempura.
Tempura shrimp.
That's what I want to add there. But
Pro Tem.
Yeah.
Garland Gudger.
Mr. Fancy.
Hello, sir.
Fancy. I like that. I don't get called fancy very often. That's nice.
So real quick, we only have about 3 minutes. I want to ask you, I'm calling this the lightning round. A few things is this, because you said this is what you're hearing from the citizens. I want to know what you're hearing in the halls and on the Senate group chats.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
If you can tell those things.
I can.
Speechless.
I've made a list earlier of some things that I'm just hearing. You want me to do those in general, or do you want to bring some things up? How do you want to do that?
Well, I mean, we could keep you the rest of the show, but you have a job. I think let's just go general, and we'll have you back on, and we'll dig into some of the issues.
All right. I was just making a list of just thinking of different items that some of my colleagues have been talking about in the State House, so this works out perfect. But There's going to be some education bills for sure, some workforce development bills, and funding for regional workforce career tech for the K-12 like we did last year. That'll be coming up again. I know the speaker is very high on that and doing a great job with it. There's going to be some healthcare bills, rural healthcare bills that'll be coming out, competitive tax code bills so that we're trying to lower the burden on hardworking Alabamians. And so I think that's important. And the seniors on a fixed income. Those two are pretty large right now for us as far as priorities. You've got the Alabama State Athletic Association's issue. I know that that is a big issue with some of the leadership, and so they're going to be handling that as it comes forward. But we had our caucus meeting this past Monday, and it was brought up in from different people when we went around the room from our colleagues. So there'll be something on that. And then, as you well know, we're in the middle of redistricting right now. And so I'm neck deep in all of that, trying to make sure that we keep the people that we need to keep in the Alabama State Senate and fighting the people and some of the evil that's in Washington, D.C. So that's been a very interesting course of action for me the last few months. But we're working hard. We have the right people in place, and we're trying to make sure that we do the right thing for the state of Alabama. But those are kind of the 30,000-foot view.
Okay, well, none of my questions were on your list.
No. That's a surprise.
So quickly, gambling.
Mm-hmm. That is going to truly be in the Senate, a caucus vote, if we want to bring that up or not. So I'm just going to let everybody know now. There are people that did not vote for it last time that want to vote for it this time and vice versa. That vote depends on the devil is in the details and what those details say. And so that will be something that my job is to get everybody in the ship and rowing in the same direction. If my ship does not want to be rowed in that direction, then we're not going to go down that path. And I will let people know sooner than later when that comes up. But as of right now, I do not see that coming up.
Okay. That's okay.
All right.
Expanded funding for school choice.
That is going to be talked about, but that will be brought up. Yes.
One near and dear to my heart.
Oh, please say yes on this one.
The Senate killed it last time it passed the House. And you know what I'm going to say? The gender ideology bill that would expand it through K-12 that Mac Butler's carrying. I don't know if he has a... You could sponsor it in the Senate. That'd be great.
Yeah. It's hard for me as pro tem to be able to do that because I've got to run pretty much the floor. But I believe there is a senator that is close to
you're
to
talented.
Where you live.
You can do this.
Really
we believe
like
in
to
you.
Do that anyway.
A senator
well, thank you for
close
that. I appreciate
to where,
that.
I'm gonna have to reach out on that one. Okay.
Yeah. Obscenity.
The library obscenity bills.
Mm. There'll be library bills coming up for sure.
Okay. Good.
Garland's regretting this right about now.
Yeah, I've got to go.
Well, Amy Beth has one more question real quick.
Okay, in literally 30 seconds, how are you feeling?
I feel good. Thank you for asking. It's been a tough 16, 17 months on my body. And had a people that don't know, the reason she's asking that, I was in a boating accident and was med-flighted to UAB and had 8 broken vertebrae, 7 broken ribs, collapsed lung, my artery was ripped apart from my spleen, and then I lost my sight for about an hour. Mm.
Good. I'm glad you're better. Thank you for joining us today. It is an honor to have you, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. All right. You're listening to Right Side. We'll be right back.